I want to read past the scripture and then I'll pray. I want to actually have you turn to two or three places here, but in Acts chapter 11, first of all, Acts chapter 11, in verse number 26, I read these words. And when he'd found him, he brought him unto Antioch, and it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people, and the disciples were called Christians first at Antioch. They were called Christians first at Antioch. Turn over to chapter 26 in the book of Acts, chapter 26, verse number 28. Here Paul has been presenting the gospel, and he is sharing the word of God with one by the name of Felix, I believe. And in chapter number 26, look at verse number 28. And King Agrippa on this occasion, verse it says this, "Then Agrippa said unto Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian." To be a Christian. Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. Then turn to the book of 1 Peter. 1 Peter, and I want you to look in chapter number 4 in the book of 1 Peter. In 1 Peter chapter number 4, I want to look at verse number 16. And he makes this statement. "Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf." Three different occasions the word Christian is used. In there at Antioch, the disciples were called Christians first at Antioch. Then King Agrippa said, "Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian." And then Peter writes and he said, "If you suffer as a Christian." I want us to bow together for a word of prayer this morning. Heavenly Father, I do ask your blessing on the many that we've mentioned. Our Father, many others that, Lord, that we did not mention today, but God, that are sick today of our church fellowship and extended families, I pray, God, your blessing on them. And I pray, God, the Holy Ghost right now, God, will give me that anointing that'll make the difference. Thank you so much for the congregational singing, for, Lord, the anointing singing of the choir, Brother Ricky this morning, Brother Brad. Thank you, Lord, for touching Brother Kevin and, Lord, speaking to our hearts through that wonderful song. And God, I pray now the Holy Spirit of God would speak to my heart. God, I pray, God, that you'd help me, and Lord, not only today, but throughout this year, to have the power and the presence of God on my life. I pray, God, that you'd help me when I preach. God, take every bit of me away and fill me with the Holy Ghost. Give me that anointing that'll make the difference. I pray, God, you'd speak to hearts this morning here in the building, and then the radio audience, and in the internet audience. And God, I pray that lives will be changed for all eternity. God, we'll thank you now for what you're going to do. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. What an awful thing to live your life and to die and open your eyes in hell. No way to imagine that. No way to imagine that. Somebody was telling me the other day about a good friend of ours who was burning some trash, and it got away, and it ended up getting into a shed, and he called 911, and he was trying to get his lawn tractor out of the shed, and it engulfed him, and he's been very severely burned. And we began to talk about people being burned and how awful it would be to be in hell for all eternity. William Booth, who is the president, the founder of the Salvation Army, in the very first graduating class they ever had after they'd gone through and had the training initially as the beginning of the Salvation Army, said after they'd had several weeks of intense Bible study and training, he said, "If I could get you to spend 1 minute in hell, it would do you more good than all the Bible training you've had so far as you're trying to rescue the perishing and care for the dying." It's an awful thing to die lost. It's an awful thing to be in hell for all eternity. God began to deal with my heart as I was thinking about the coming year. And I want to share with you in the first, I don't know how long it's going to take, I want to talk to you about what is a Christian. What is a Christian? The majority of the people in this building this morning say they're Christian. The majority of people in this county, no doubt, say they're Christian. Across this country, a large, vast number of people say they're Christian. And yet, Brother Billy Graham said many years ago, He was afraid that as many as maybe as 70% of those who profess to be Christians have never been saved. I want to try, if God help me in the next few weeks, to preach to you on what is a Christian. And there are three areas that I want to look at as we study and look at the Word of God together. First of all, I want to talk to you about the birth of a Christian. Second, we'll talk about the beliefs of a Christian. And then third, we'll talk about the behavior of a Christian. Now, some people, the first passage I read to you, they distinguish that. It says the disciples were called Christians, and they say that a Christian is a kind of an upper level of those who've been redeemed or those who've been saved. And they would say that a real Christian is somebody who is a hundredfold Christian or somebody who really lives the life. And they distinguish between that and what they call carnal Christians or carnal saved people. That's not what I'm talking about. And in fact, I'm not sure that's what that passage of Scripture is talking about at all. I believe that is an all-encompassing term for those who have been born again by the grace of God. Any person who is saved, genuinely saved, it would be categorized in the Bible as a Christian. But I want to point out some things to you this morning in regard to the birth of a Christian. What is a Christian? How do you become a Christian? How do you know that you're a Christian? Because that, to answer that question properly means you go to heaven. To answer it on your thinking or my thinking or what grandma or somebody else told you, you may end up hell for all eternity. To measure yourself among Christianity today and say, I'm as good as they are, you may very well end up in hell. You must be a Christian to get to go to heaven. You must know the Lord Jesus Christ. I would say, in by way of introduction this morning, in the first place, I want to remind you of a few things. I want you to look in a passage of Scripture our Lord said in Matthew chapter 7, verse 23. Matthew chapter 7. I want to talk to you about what is a Christian? What is a Christian? Listen to what our Lord said as a way of warning and what an awesome challenge this is. He said this in verse 22. Many were saying to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? In thy name cast out devils? And in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Boy, I tell you, wouldn't it have been an awful thing to one day stand before God and then him to say, depart from me. There's no argument in Judgment House that Brother Bob was talking about a while ago. I tell you, that's an awesome thing. I mean, when you walk, stand before Roger, and I tell you, first time I was in there, and I believe first time it might have been Brad, but every time I've gone through Judgment House and they call my name and he says, it's not your time. I say, boy, I'm glad of that. Thank God. I tell you, and I know Roger. I know Roger. And I know Brad. But it is in the intensity of the Judgment House and all that preceded that, just to be, it's a sobering thing. But can you imagine what it would be to be a member of a Baptist church, to tote a Bible in your hand, to attend Sunday school and vacation Bible school? And when you stand before him, he'd say, depart from me. I never knew you. And to be in hell for all eternity. I tell you, I believe it do us well in the beginning of 2015 to do what the Word of God says, make your calling and election sure. To know beyond any shadow of a doubt, examine yourself, the Bible said, to see whether or not you be in the faith. I want to remind you, my dear friend, that Bible readers are not Christians. Oh, you say, well, Brother Billy, that just shocked some of you, didn't it? Bible readers are not Christians. Christians do read the Bible. But reading the Bible doesn't make you a Christian. There are people who read the Bible as they would read any other kind of literature. They just particularly like it. There's some who like Western novels, some romance novels, some who like to read history. Some people have just been conditioned over the years and they are Bible readers. And they think because they are Bible readers, they're going to go to heaven. No. Jesus told a group of people one time, he said, search the Scriptures, for in them you think ye have eternal life. He's talking to Pharisees. This particular group, many of them had memorized the Pentateuch, the first five books of the Bible. They could quote the first five books of the Bible to you. But Jesus indicated that they were not saved. He said, search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. They are they which testify of me. My dear friend, Bible readers are not Christians. Christians read the Bible, but Bible readers are not Christian. Church members are not Christian. Oh, Christians are church members, but church members are not Christian, because there's a lot of church members who've never been born again by the grace of God. And somebody said, I say to you, are you saved? You're going to go to heaven? Well, I've been a member of such and such a church for years and years and years. Church members are not Christian. I think that's not how you describe a Christian. Say he's a church member. I would remind you also, my dear friend, that good deed doers are not Christian. Christians do good deeds, but good deed doers are not Christian. Somebody doing good things. Oh, that's the best lady you ever met. That's the best man you've ever met. They are always doing good for people. But that doesn't mean a Christian. Good deed doers. The Bible said, not by works of righteousness which we've done, but according to his mercy he saved us. I'd remind you also that benevolent people are not Christian. Christians are very benevolent. They do share and they do give and they do have a compassionate heart and they do want to help people. But there's a vast number of people in America and around the world who think because they are benevolent. They say, I believe what the Bible said. The Bible said you ought to love your neighbor as yourself, and I love my neighbors myself, and they'll give you the shirt off the back, and they'll mow your grass too. But benevolent people are not Christians. Christians are benevolent, but benevolent people are not Christian just because they do good things for people, because they help people. Believers in God are not Christian. Christians believe in God, but there's a lot of people who believe in God. Can I share something with you that help erase every thought you've ever had about people who believe in God or going to heaven? He said, the devil believes and trembles. Did you know the devil believes in God? He believes in God. Do you know he believes in Jesus? Do you know he believes this is the Word of God? But the devil will be in hell for all eternity, tormented day and night. He's not in charge of hell. He'll be there, tormented as well as with the false prophets and all those others. But my dear friend, those who believe in God are not Christian. Christians believe in God, but simply believing there is a God doesn't make you a Christian. Did you know, my dear friend, that those who keep the commandments, the Ten Commandments, are not Christian? You may keep the commandments, and if you're a Christian, you certainly want to keep the commandments. But Ten Commandment keepers are not Christian. Doesn't make you a Christian. The Bible said, by the deeds of the law, no flesh shall be justified in his sight. You keep all the Ten Commandments. Matter of fact, there are 600 and some odd commandments in the Bible. If you could find and identify every one of those and try to keep every one of those, that would make you a Christian. Oh, Christians try to keep the commandments and they try to obey, but they are written on the tablet of our heart. God put them there. My dear friend, Ten Commandment keepers are not Christians. Prayers and those who pray the Lord's Prayer are not Christian. Oh, Christians quite often model the Lord's Prayer, and Christians certainly pray, but prayers and the prayers of the Lord's Prayer are not Christian. I talk to people sometime, are you saved? You're going to go to heaven? Well, I talked to him this morning. I talk to him every day. I don't know where I'd be if it hadn't been for the Lord. I talk to him all the time. Christians pray. Bible said we ought to pray without ceasing. We ought to be in a continual communion with him. But prayers and prayers of the Lord's Prayer are not Christian. Christians do pray, but there's a vast number of people who are prayers who've never been saved by the grace of God. Those who've been baptized are not Christian. Christians are baptized, but many have been baptized who were not Christian. In my life in ministry, I've had plenty of people come to me in adult life, broken and weeping, and saying, Brother Billy, I got baptized when I was 5 years old, 6 years old, 7 years old. Now, please understand, I am convinced with all of my heart that a 5-year-old, 6-year-old, 7-year-old can be a Christian and can be saved. But so many are not. So many of those people who say they've been baptized at a young age, they didn't know what it was. Their friends were being baptized. They were being baptized. Because the Bible doesn't teach baptismal regeneration. Doesn't teach being baptized to be saved. And you could be baptized and not be saved. Many people like that. Many people have been baptized but never were saved. Because baptism does not save you. It's not intended to be salvation. But there are people sitting in this building who believe they're going to heaven because they were baptized and they got the paper to prove it. Christians are baptized, going to all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, and then you baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teach them to observe all things which I've commanded you. And that a Christian who gets saved by the grace of God does want to be baptized, but he's saved before his baptism. Those who profess Christ are not Christian. Christians profess Christ. Christians have publicly acknowledged they're Christians. But all those, my dear friend, who profess to be Christians are not. This people draw near to me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. My dear friend, in this passage of scripture I read to you, he said, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, in that day. And he said, depart from me, ye cursed, I never knew you. Many people, my dear friend, who profess Christ are not Christian. They've never been saved. What about Christians? Just a few things. Who is a Christian? What is a Christian? If you go through the Bible, you'll find the word Christian, somebody said that means little Christ. Christian. They're called Christians in the Bible. Sometimes they're called those of the way. The Apostle Paul wanted to go out and to find those who were of the way. Those who are of the way. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And he was talking about not only a lifestyle, but he was talking about someone who is living a certain way because they have met the way and they're living in the way. Christians, my dear friend, are called in the Bible, they're called the family of the firstborn. They're called the body of Christ. They are called members in the body of Christ. They're said to be in Christ. They are said that they are the children of God. They are called his sheep. And he said, my sheep hear my voice and they follow me. And then he said, I am the vine. You're the branches. So Christians are called branches. They are called sheep. They're called the children of God. They're called members of his body. They are called the bride of Christ. They are called saints in the Bible. And they are called many other different things, but they are called, as Brad said this morning, a chosen generation. They are children of God. Children of God. My dear friend, there are many identifications for the children of God in the Bible. What about these people? Who are these people? What is a Christian? Why, the Bible says of this group of people that they have been forgiven of all their sin. A Christian is somebody who has been forgiven of all of his sin. There's never been a law given that could give life. And they are said to possess life. So you keep all of the law, keep all the commandments, pray all the prayers, read the Bible from cover to cover, but it will not give you life. They are said to be possessors of life, eternal life. They're said to be forgiven. They are partakers of a new nature. That means they have had a radical change. They are said to be born again. They are called a new creation. Christians are those, my dear friend, who have eternal life. And then they're called the righteous. nothing about Bible reading, baptism, all those things. They're identified as that. Now, the question is, how do you become a Christian then? How do you know you're saved? Many of you, I could watch it on your face when I said, Bible readers are not Christians. You just, boy, you just, they didn't like, you like that. When I said that Christians are not prayers and you pray all the time. But who is a Christian? Hey, listen, you and I can argue and debate till the cows come home. But what really matters is when you stand before a holy God, is he going to say, depart from me, you cursed, I never knew you? Or will he enter into eternal rest? That's the real issue. And if I were you, and in my own heart and life, I'm not interested in debating. I want to know what the Bible says. And I want to know that when I leave this world, I'm going to go to heaven. Not because of what I think or what anybody else thinks, but I want to know what the Bible says. What is a Christian? What is a Christian? I want you to turn in your Bible to the most familiar passage of Scripture in the New Testament. And I think it's there for a reason. I think it is the simplest passage of Scripture for a reason. John chapter 3. John chapter 3. What is a Christian? In regard to his birth. What is a Christian? In regard to his birth. Notice in John chapter 3, our Lord is speaking to a very religious man, one who, if you ask him, was he going to go to heaven or into the kingdom, he would, without a shadow of a doubt, have said yes. Why? Because he was a giver. He was a knowledgeable Bible reader. He was a faithful attender to worship. But he was not saved. He did not know the Lord. And here Jesus, this man comes to Jesus. John chapter 3, Gospel of John chapter 3, verse 1. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. For no man can do these miracles which thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter the second time to his mother's womb and be born? And Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto thee, you must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but cannot tell whence it cometh or whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, How can these things be? And Jesus answered and said unto him, Art thou a master of Israel, and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we know, and we testify that we've seen, and ye receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things, and you believe not, how shall you believe if I tell you heavenly things? A man that hath, and no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. He's answering Nicodemus's question. How can a man be born again? What has he got to do? That's Nicodemus's thought. What have I got to do so I can go to heaven? And the answer is nothing. There's not one thing you can do on your own to go to heaven. But Jesus said, And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so, he said, must the Son of Man be lifted up. You see, I'm trusting in a life I did not live, and in a death I did not die. That's how you get to go to heaven. It's knowing that he did something for you that you can never, ever do for yourself. He goes on, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life or eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth not on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he've not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Here, emphasis. How or what is a Christian? It is someone who has been born again. How does that happen? How can that be? Why is it necessary? Why did he use all these terms about a birth process, being born again? Why is it important that Jesus died for us? And why is it that believing that he died and was buried, how is it that that could cause us to get to go to heaven? There has to be a birth. There has to be a beginning. At Christmas time this year, we had a good time with our family, about 20-something of them at the house on Christmas Eve night. And Becky and John were there with the grandbaby boys. They just turned 6 months old. And as we sat to eat, before I asked the blessing on the meal together, I was thanking God for our family. And the little ones, Hunter and Towns, were there with us at the table. And I said, last year's surprise is this year's blessing. Because last year, we were getting ready to open our gifts. I had just got through reading the Christmas story. And we're getting ready to open my gifts with all of our family there. And there's a knock at the door, and it's Brother Barry Barber. He was bringing a ham. Somebody ran to the door. Now, they had it all staged. They were going to give Regina a calendar. And on it was going to be marked the birth dates of the babies. And anyway, when Barry knocked at the door, somebody says, Brother Barry, I got to getting up. My son-in-law said, don't go to the door. Don't go to the door. Don't go to the door. I promise you, don't go to the door. And Barry stepped on in the house. And about that time, I had turned away. And my wife was looking at the calendar. And she saw that. And she realized what it was. And she looked at Becky. And she said, you're pregnant. And they all screamed and hollered. I didn't know what was going on. Barry didn't know what was going on. Barry, we got a picture. They took a picture about that time of all of the folk there all excited. Barry's in the back. And me and him, we got a big question mark. We don't know what's going on. They were excited about some births that were going to take place. Some people who were not there a few weeks ago, now they were there in the womb of their mother, and this year they were there in the flesh. They were real. They were just real. You can touch them. You can hold them. And they were not there 2 years ago, but they're there now. They laugh and they talk their talk. They roll over. They're real people. They were not there, but now they are there because there was a birth. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2. I want you to go over to Ephesians chapter 2 and read this to you. He said in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1, and you hath he quickened, that word quickened means made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sin. Every person who's not saved is considered dead. And they are dead, spiritually dead. They do not exist in the spirit realm. They live physically, but they're not born again. They don't have communion with God. They're dead. Consequently, anything they do is dead. Their good deeds is dead. Their benevolent acts are dead. Their religious activities is dead because they're dead spiritually. And he said this, you hath he quickened, that means made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sin, wherein in times past you walk according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of our flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. My dear friend, those who are lost, they follow the dictates of the flesh. They can only do what the flesh dictates that they do. They have no real fellowship with God. They are dead in trespasses and sin. But he said this in verse 4, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace you're saved, and hath raised up together and made us to sit together in a heavenly place in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God had before ordained that we should walk in them. I'm going to leave off the reading there. He said this of these people in Ephesus. He said, something really happened to you. You were dead in trespasses and sin. You walked according to the dictates of your heart and of the flesh. You were aliens. He goes on, aliens without hope, without God in the world. But something happened to you. What happened? There was a birth. There was something happened. In this passage of Scripture, he says that we were the workmanship of Christ, created. He spoke, and there was water. He spoke, and there were trees. He spoke, and there was wildlife. He spoke, and there were fowls in the air. He spoke, and there were fish in the sea. That was not became real, visible. And when a man becomes a Christian, or a boy becomes a Christian, or a woman becomes a Christian, they become something they were not. They're something new. It is a new creation. It is a new birth. They are different. A radical change takes place in their thinking and in their heart, and especially in their nature. They become partakers of a divine nature. Something happens. The Holy Spirit of God comes into them. They become a brand new creature in Christ Jesus. What is a Christian? It is someone who has recognized that Jesus Christ bore all their sins, and they have confessed that they were sinners, and they have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. And in that moment, the Spirit of the living God came into them, and they were born again. Something changed inside of them. They became a creature, something they never had been before. They became a child of God. They were born again by the grace of God. He shed abroad in their heart the love of God. He gave them a peace of God that passeth all understanding. He made them a brand new creature in Christ Jesus, made them an heir and a joint heir with Christ, gave to them an everlasting, eternal inheritance of heaven, which shall never pass away. He gave them everlasting life. They shall never perish nor come into condemnation. They are then and forever his child born again. They became a brand new creature in Christ Jesus. That's what a Christian is. That's exactly what a Christian is. Has that ever happened to you? Has there ever been anything that happened in your life that so radically changed you that where you'd hated the Bible or didn't read the Bible, now you love the Word of God? Has there been a change in your heart that where you didn't care for Christians, didn't want to be around Christians, where God did something in your life which now you love to be around the saints of God? By this shall all men know that you're my disciple, you have love one for another. Did God put something in your heart that love him and want to serve him? Did he take away all the fear and give you a peace? Has God made you a brand new creature in Christ Jesus? For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. God changed you. He said to Nicodemus, you must be born again. But can I tell you something? It's what he wants for every one of you. That's what he wants for. That's why he designed it this way. He's not willing that any should perish. He wants everyone to be saved. He wants everybody to know the free pardon of sin. He wants everyone to know that it's not by your works or by your good deeds or by your baptism, but by what he's already done. And when you see that, you'll say with John Newton, who was a slave trader, "Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see. Oh, listen, 'twas grace that taught my heart to fear, but grace my fear relieved." My dear friend, it's grace, grace, that God by his marvelous grace makes you a brand new creature in Christ. Have you ever, ever been made brand new? Have you ever become a brand new creature in Christ Jesus? How do you do that? What does it mean to be a Christian? A Christian is somebody who has been born again. They become a brand new creature in Christ Jesus. They've had all their sins forgiven because they recognize that Jesus paid their sin debt. They have been indwelt by the person, the Holy Spirit of God. I want you to bow your heads in prayer this morning. In the next few weeks, I want to, in the Word of God, if God will help me, to show you what is a Christian. It involves a birth. It involves a belief, and it does involve behavior. But none of that begins until the birth comes. You say, "Brother Bill, I don't know about life. You don't need to know about anything except for this truth right here. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoso believeth him should not perish, but have everlasting life." The Holy Spirit of God wants to birth you into the kingdom. There has to be a birth. Have you ever experienced that birth when something happened inside of you that you did not do? It was a radical change. You became partaker of a divine nature. You were born again by the grace of God. He wants you to be born again. When he was on the cross, as Cabot sang the other night, "You on his mind." He bore your sins in his own body on the tree. He died for you, buried for you. You need to be born again. You have to be born again. You must be born again. You have to come to a place where you recognize, "I cannot save myself. Nothing I can do except for one thing, and that is to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Humbly bow before him, acknowledging that he loved you and died for you, and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ." You stand with your heads bowed for a moment. Heavenly Father, I pray right now the Holy Ghost of God, God will do what I can't do. The Holy Spirit of God will send into the world to convict the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. And God, I pray the sweet Holy Ghost of God, Lord, this morning has fully convicted somebody. And that somebody this morning, our Father, would hear the glad news that while there's nothing we can do, that there's one who's done it all already. And that they by faith would believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and accept the free gift of salvation. And Lord, I pray you come in their heart, Lord, that they'd be born again. A radical change takes place in their thought process, in their affections, their heart, their life. Make them a brand new creature in Christ Jesus. God, I pray they'll be born again by the grace of God. God, I pray that happened for somebody here today. Somebody in the radio audience, somebody in the internet audience. And God, I pray right now that God, the Holy Ghost, our Father, will move. Our Father, I want to thank you. I want to thank you, our Father, that God, you made it to where we didn't have to do things. We had to believe, accept Jesus. God, I'm glad that, Lord, that you've made it to where anybody, any man, woman, boy, or girl, if they would believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, that he suffered and bled and died for them, they can be born again. I pray, God, they lay down all the weapons of their rebellion. They wave the white flag of surrender, and they'd surrender to you now, believing that you've paid the debt they could not pay. You died the death they could not die. You lived the life they could not live, and God, you have died that they might have everlasting life. Help them to believe on that this morning. And God, for those of us who are saved, our Father, help us to sing louder than ever before. We thank you for the grace of God. I have been redeemed. Thank you for that great song of the choir. God, I pray, God, you'd help us, our Father, to preach the gospel. God, it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. I pray, God, people believe the gospel, the good news that Jesus Christ paid their sin debt and that they can be born again. God, I pray that you'd make very uncomfortable all those who rest, our Father, on their church membership or their baptism or their good deeds. And I pray, our Father, they'll find rest in the Lord Jesus Christ now. While we have our heads bowed and eyes are closed, Brother Brad is going to sing a verse of a song. First of all, let me encourage God's people to pray. I want to encourage you to come, get around this altar and pray that God will open hearts and people to be saved. Come thank him for your own salvation. Then this morning, if you're here this morning, you've never been saved. Would you want to be born again? Would you come this morning if God's Holy Ghost convicted your heart? He didn't do that not to save you. He did that to save you. And would you come in simple faith and say, Lord Jesus, I'm lost. I'm on my way to hell. But I do believe you died for me. And right now I receive Jesus Christ as my only hope of heaven. Come in my heart, forgive me and save me of my sin. God, I want to be born again. I pray, God, you do that change in my life that Brother Billy talked about. Give me different desires. Make me a brand new creature. I want to be born again, and only you can do that. God, do it by your grace. If you'll come and receive him this morning, would you do that? Dear Lord Jesus, I pray right now that God, the Holy Ghost, our Father, to draw men, women, boys, and girls, and God, they respond and be born again by the grace of God. God, what a blessing to know that you're saved and heaven's your home because of what you did for us. God, speak to hearts now. While we're praying, while we're in an attitude of prayer, many around the altar, you come right now.